everybody. This is Maggie Rodden. This is the Unsolicited Opinion. And if you want to call into the show today, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. And what are the words to that song? It's AC/DC, by the way, for those of you who don't know what rock band we're playing today on Friday. We're going to rock and roll our way into the weekend. That is AC/DC. And the words, what, who can you trust? You get nothing for nothing, right? And ain't that the truth? We get nothing for nothing in life. There ain't no free lunch. Even though there's a lot of people out there who think that's what they're getting, they just can't see the little strings attached to it. Oh, but they will. They will, because it is inevitable. It is just like night following day, that eventually you will see those strings that bind you, and they'll be chains. Anyway, my guest this morning is William Taylor Ryle, my little constitutional scholarly buddy who resides in this neck of the woods with me. And someone, while we went to that last quick break, Bill had mentioned that the case that you were referencing, the Stream of Commerce case, was a Wickard versus Filburn in 1942. Just to refresh your memory. And, of course, I wouldn't have known it anyway. But yeah. Anyway, there you go. I knew you knew it.
Well, going back to Art and his comment, I had some thoughts that maybe would be helpful. I think that, you know, the government's going to do a fine job of crashing things. I mean, I don't know that we ought to help them. We ought to get prepared and have an alternative solution. If they, in fact, make hyperinflation, and it will occur, the value of the green piece of paper in your pocket will go to almost nothing, just like it did in Germany, where it took wheelbarrows of the mark to buy a loaf of bread. So get prepared. They want a new currency, a worldwide currency. It'll probably be I think they're talking about the Amero, which is equivalent to the Euro. Of course, the Euro is in trouble, so maybe that whole plan will fall apart of its own weight. But the whole inevitable end of this fraud in the financial system is a collapse. It's inevitable. You can't sustain this borrowing forever, and it's the debt is just going to, you know, just continue to escalate. So a collapse is in the works, and it's pretty evident. I think people can see it coming. So get prepared to have an alternative way of exchange. Barter is what you call it, and that's right. Anything can be used for a way of exchange. If you exchange your labor or what you produce or what you own, all can be exchanged for food and shelter, and that's sort of the necessities of life, isn't it? Clothes, food, and shelter is we all need.
And, you know, it made me think of talking about bartering, and of course, I believe it was Louisiana that said that you can't use cash for secondhand purchases. And of course, it's, you know, their goal to be able to track everything that you do. Big brother, I'm telling you, these people are purely evil. But, geez, now I lost my train of thought. What the hell was I going to say? I'm telling you, the mind is a terrible thing sometimes. Hey, Bill, listen, we got to go to break, everybody. Maybe I'll think of what I wanted to say when we're off on break for 3 minutes. We'll be back. This is the Unsolicited Opinion, 800-313-9443. Don't go away. We're coming back.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie Rodden. This is the Unsolicited Opinion. The call-in number today is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. I can't remember what the hell it was I wanted to say, but I was thinking about that commercial. It was a comical thing. It was the mind is a terrible thing to waste, and it was a comedian who was doing that. Do you remember? It was a guy who had the football helmet on his head. The mind is a terrible thing. Remember that? It was hysterical. Oh, I can't remember. It was in the 70s, I think, Bill. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
I don't.
I was trying to find it on YouTube to see if it would be thrown up there, but YouTube, my friend says, YouTube is his new place to watch the news because it isn't happening on the television. So he finds out what's really going on in the world by going to YouTube. I think there's probably a lot of truth in that, don't you think?
Yeah.
But
let's go back to your statement about Louisiana saying that you can't use Federal Reserve notes for commerce on secondhand purchases. I think, again, the answer to that shenanigan, the state may make it a law, allegedly, but you know, we know that just because they make it a law doesn't make it a lawful. And in this case, it doesn't even make it legal. Because the Federal Reserve note, everybody can take one out of their pocket and read this note, that Federal Reserve note, whatever the denomination it is, this note is legal tender for all debt, public and private. So there's a statement by the federal government that this piece of paper is to be used to satisfy all debt, public and private. So just because Louisiana says you can't use a Federal Reserve note, I challenge that in a heartbeat, and they'd lose. They'd absolutely lose. Whatever they made a law, that's not even legal, much less lawful.
Well, what the heck was I going to say? You know, it's an interesting thing to me, Bill, but if you think about what was happening in the 30s, I mean, the Great Depression, and people were down on their luck and down on their knees, essentially begging for more porridge, please. You know, so nobody, and I would have to say, I'm going to say that probably people were more educated then than, guaranteed, than they are today. And yet the people were so broken in spirit and inability to do anything. They did nothing with all these different unconstitutional things going on, and I would think that the people were more aware of the Constitution and understood those things a hell of a lot more than anybody does today, or a lot of the people. I shouldn't say anybody, but a lot of the people today are absolutely, you know, don't even know it exists. But
people have always resisted. The problem is the government is so powerful and so intimidating, and the schools have brainwashed everybody so you can't fight City Hall, and on, and when you go to court and the court says, I don't care what you're saying, you're guilty, or you go to jail, you pay the fine, and then they have the force to enforce it, and they steal your property to do it, people get desperate. And, of course, it's fearful. I mean, it's very intimidating. I understand why people don't resist, but the ultimate solution is to, in fact, say no and to resist collectively. Individually, they pick you off, but join with other people and learn the fact that most of what government is doing today is unconstitutional and has clearly been unconstitutional at least since 1933. I would say since 1860, much of it has been. And so what we need to do is get to a point where we can say, and we will, because as the bad deeds of government continue to increase and become so obvious that what they're doing is wrong and unlawful, more and more people will get to a point. The hope is, in my heart and mind, is that we can do this peacefully and it not resort to what happened, in 1776 when the Parliament and the King were being so oppressive. I mean, that's ultimately the remedy. And unfortunately, if this government continues to go, and this is all levels, continues to go down the path that they're going, the ultimate remedy will be a war. And that's not, I don't desire that, most people don't. So if they start following the Constitution, the solution for our financial woes are simple. Only spend our tax money, which, by the way, the method of collecting and imposing on is not constitutional, but they do it. So now, with the system that we have, don't pay for anything that's not authorized in the federal Constitution for the federal budget. Do you realize that our national budget would be, 10% at most of what it is now? Because most of what they spend money on, all these departments and foreign aid and welfare and on, is totally unconstitutional. And so the remedy is to go back to the Constitution and say, if it isn't authorized specifically in the Constitution, Congress has 17 powers in Article 1, Section 8. That's it. And those are the things they can spend money on, and it's not welfare, and it's not foreign aid, and it's not bases overseas, and on and on and on. And so our budget would be balanced, overly balanced. We could pay off the national debt quickly. Well,
Bill,
frankly,
I've got a couple of people who have emailed a couple of questions for you.
Okay, let me finish this thought.
But okay.
Most of this alleged debt is not really debt. And the process can be discharged by simply writing it off because it's not real. And that they discharge debts all the time by just writing them off the books. Let's go to these email things. That's
okay.
Good.
Let me find the first one. He has, this is from a gentleman, October 6th, 1917, under Trading with Enemy Act, Section 2, Subdivision C, Chapter 106, Enemy Defined, Other Than Citizens of the United States. March 9th, 1933, Chapter 106, Section 5, Subdivision B of the Trading with Enemy Act of 1917, 40 Statute 411, amended as follows. Any person within the United States. After this was implemented on April 5th, 1933, Roosevelt issued Executive Order 6102. This was used to prohibit the hoarding of gold by U.S. citizens. On its face, this was a move to take the true wealth of America by the men behind the curtain. Okay, that's not the question. Let me get to his other email. He wants you to define what exactly a U.S. citizen is when within the United States versus a state national without the United States. De facto citizens in rebellion of their states versus de jure, original American people under the original Constitution before the Reconstruction and the 14th Amendment, which made U.S. citizens slaves through perpetual debt slavery. Want me to read that again?
No, I understand the question.
Okay.
And it's another one of these, the 14th Amendment, and we've talked about this. It doesn't exist, so I tend not to worry too much about the weeds of the 14th Amendment. And the people decide that the 14th Amendment has created a new citizen. We only had one type of citizen before, and this made it a second-class citizen. Well, first of all, if the 14th Amendment is unconstitutional, and it is, then it doesn't really matter. But,
okay, so this goes to the 14th Amendment, which you believe was never correctly ratified, therefore it doesn't exist in your estimation.
Not only mine. Unassailable evidence proves that it was not properly approved or ratified.
Okay, so this question that this person emailed to me pertains to if that 14th Amendment was correctly ratified and was...
Right.
Okay.
Does your citizen is one at law, de facto is by force. That's the two words that are compared here. And so there have always been, in America, a dual sovereignty, if you will. Always, all the sovereignty resides in the people, but there are people of the state, and there are people who are also citizens of the United States. That's the statement of the 14th Amendment. But there's always been a dual sovereignty, quote-unquote, that is the state sovereignty of the people and the federal or central government sovereignty. That's unique on the earth, where we have dual sovereignty in America. Before the 14th Amendment, it was the states were the parties to the compact, the people of the state, that created the central government. And the central government had its delegated, subservient role, if you will. And it was recognized and followed pretty much in the courts up until the war between the states. And then after that, in the 14th Amendment, now it became the United States, not these United States. And therefore, the United States became superior by the 14th Amendment to the state. And so the citizens, it says in the order of importance, you're a citizen of the United States and a citizen of the state in which you reside. So it changed the relationship between the states and the central government, flipping them 180 degrees. That was the major change, and that's recognized by the courts and writings, extensive writing. So this whole thing about a new kind of citizen, there are only two, and that is you are a citizen of the United States. Well, first of all, you're a citizen of the state, and because that state is a part of the union, you're also a citizen of the United States of America. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way it is today. The states are pretty much obliterated, and we have only one, you know, the federal government, or actually a national government. But this idea that the patriots have come up with, or people have come up with, try to explain what's going on, is just a distraction. The reality is, the way that the structure of the government, the structure of our whole country, was changed after the war between the states. They've been trying to do it right from the beginning, but it was done after the war between the states with the so-called 14th Amendment, and after that, everything changed.
Okay. So all of these different arguments that people come up with based upon the 14th Amendment, you think are invalid because of the fact that the 14th Amendment was never correctly ratified, therefore, it's not a legitimate amendment, and everything else springing out of it is not existent, essentially.
Because anything that's unconstitutional is null and void from the time that it occurred. That's so settled in our law. And so,
Hang on, Bill. We're going to break, everybody. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Lisa in Texas, I'll grab you soon, so hang in there. This is the Unsolicited Opinion, everybody. 800-313-9443. We'll return. Don't go away.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, Does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Freeze-dry guy customers, take advantage. No, we really want you to take advantage of the October 2011 month special. We have bug-out meat buckets to beef up your real freeze-dried beef and chicken supply. You can beat everyone to the punch because we're offering freeze-dry guy customers this order early October deal. Special pre-order price of $119 is now $109. Whether on the go or storing for the future, you have a gold standard in convenience, taste, and nutrition. When variety and quick preparation is paramount, our handy four-serving pouches are excellent for 72-hour kits, camping, hunting, and backpacking. Our freeze-dried meat can even be added to your everyday routine. From last-minute dinner ideas to high-protein snacks, order now at freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Hey, everybody, it's Maggie Robin. This is the Unsolicited Opinion. 800-313-9443 is the number to call us, and my website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Listen, I want you to burn that in your brain, make it indelible so you have it memorized and you don't forget it. It is the place to go for tons of information. And you know what? Speaking of a place to go with tons of information, good thing you're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because there's a ton of information being redistributed via this network as well. So that is a good thing. It's important to know. And it is my duty here on Friday to give out important information. It is my obligation in life, I think. What do you think? I'm just rambling on here, Bill. I'm telling you, I am wired today. Too much caffeine. I've been loading myself up on a little caffeine this morning, and it is coursing through my veins. I'm having a lot of caffeine. My caffeine fix today. Caffeine is rocking and rolling through my veins right now. So anyway, so did you want to finish what you were saying, and then we're going to grab this caller in Texas?
Yeah, I was this morning. I was reading a United States Supreme Court case. It's Minor versus Happersett, Happersett. It's 88 U.S. 162. It's an 1875 case, and it talks about citizenship and the fact that there's always been dual citizenship, and that you're born in this country of parents who are citizens, then you are a citizen, not if you're an alien or foreigner. And so it's a clarification, very clear clarification, about who is a natural born citizen. But it does, the judge does talk in his opinion, Chief Justice actually wrote this opinion, that there have always been these two citizenships. That is, the state first. They were citizens as soon as they declared their separation from England, and wrote their constitution to create the state, they became citizens of that state. And then, of course, when the people of the states created the federal government, then they became citizens of the United States of America. And so there are multiple cases that confirm that there have always been this dual citizenship, if you will, in America. But I think it's also very interesting that this case confirms that in order to be a natural-born citizen under the Constitution, your parents, or at a minimum your father, must be a citizen of the United States. Sort of addresses the Obama question very clearly.
Yeah, which nobody else wants to talk about besides the alternative media sources such as Republic Broadcasting Network and the others. Nobody else touches that because, of course, they don't want the truth to get in the way of the lie. Listen, let's grab Lisa in Texas. She's been holding on for a while. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. I'm on caffeine, too. So.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Bill, thank you for all your very fascinating information. And I have two very different questions. I'm just going to spit both of them out and then listen and let you answer, if you don't mind.
Okay.
The first, regarding the 14th Amendment, I have heard that before, never really investigated it in depth. But if this is true and it wasn't properly ratified, what would it take to bring that to the forefront of the American, theater and somehow not rebel against it, but make it a huge issue and get back to our states' rights and so forth? Is there anybody who's ever tried to create a kind of a public mass movement dealing with and challenging this amendment and, taking it off the book, so to speak? That's my first one. The next one is, I heard you mention hyperinflation, and I'm just wondering when you think that would happen. I know there are a lot of factors, and that's kind of a loaded question, but when do you see something like that possibly coming into reality, and would that necessitate a catastrophic event to precede it, or what do you think the conditions are for hyperinflation? So those are my questions.
I'll answer the second one first. I don't think anyone knows, but the way they're going, it's sooner than later. It depends on how the banks, how long they want the banks want it to survive. Mm-hmm. And they're doing a lot of manipulation, and it ties in with politics and everything else. I mean,
right.
Obama would have absolutely no hope of being reelected if he doesn't make our economy look good. And the banks want him to do that. The media wants him to survive. And so you can probably look forward to an improvement of the economics before next year.
Improvement in that they'll say it's improved.
Right.
It doesn't make
right.
It. So just like this, the unemployment rate, every week you hear that there's another 400,000 people laid off, but the unemployment rate stays at like 9.1. I mean, it's all horse crap.
Well, and the I'll just interject. It's just amazing to me that the stock market continues to stay up as much and is even going up. I just can't even believe it.
Well, you know what? That game is all cooked, Lisa. I'm a firm believer of that the whole game on the stock market is cooked.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's no rhyme or reason. There is no value to the price of a stock. I mean, the two don't go hand in hand like they would logically. If a company had value, then you would think that its stock would be valuable. And it
exactly.
isn't. I mean, prices of stock move, and it's a absolute garbage. It's a, it's a nickel plug. It's a lousy horse. Listen, we're going to break. We'll be right back, everybody. Don't go away. 3-minute break. We're coming back. Lisa, hang in there. We'll be back, and we'll talk about lousy stocks and smart people.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendovite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendovite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Everybody, it's Maggie Rodden. This is the Unsolicited Opinion. The call-in number is 800-313-9443. My website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. There's a contact button there. If you'd like to get in contact with me, you're more than welcome to. Hey, Bill, I've got somebody emailed me a comment, and they also have a question, but I'll let you finish answering Lisa's first.
Okay.
But let me just give you this comment from James Clyburn. Judge Andrew Napolitano had asked him where in the Constitution was the power and authority given to the federal government to regulate the people's health care, and his response was most of what Congress does is not authorized by the Constitution, but they do it anyway.
Correct. He's absolutely correct. The reason for the cash problem is it's all funny money. We talked about that, and it's nothing tied down. And so the reason we're in this economic problem by design is because there is no lawful money, no gold and silver coin to tie the value of that Federal Reserve note or that paper money down. The framers of the Constitution experienced this. That's exactly why they eliminated paper money in the states, because the states had paper money at the time, and they couldn't transacts business between the states because the money was different value and different form. And so they turned that responsibility over to the federal government for a unified currency, which by definition was gold and silver coin within the state in the Constitution. And that things in the Constitution are put there in order to solve problems that the framers knew about from their experience and their education and their wisdom. So people have been working at destroying the Constitution all unconstitutionally. So that then gets us to the 14th Amendment, the mechanism that has been used. And I would encourage Lisa to and others to go to your website and get the document that says the so-called 14th Amendment was not lawfully adopted or ratified. And I reference five source documents in there that are written by attorneys and judges. So it's not my words, it's theirs. And so that will help you understand why it wasn't properly approved or ratified. But in the congressional record in 1967, the statement reiterates this evidence at length and then closes out the discussion saying that no other evidence is required to show that the 14th Amendment is unconstitutional and that the Constitution strikes with nullity that which does violence to its provisions. When something is done that's contrary to the Constitution, it's null and void from the time that it occurs. And that's confirmed in that reiteration that it's totally void. And you can go back to Marver versus Madison and Hamilton's discussion in Federalist 78 and so forth, repeated discussions in our framing documents and early documents that prove that when something is unconstitutional, if it violates a provision of the Constitution, it's null and void from the time that it occurs. The then question comes is, who can decide what is unconstitutional? We are the sovereign. We the people decide, not the courts. They just have created that decision on their own and saying, well, the Supreme Court has to declare it or some court has to declare it. No, the people declare it. Now, if you're wrong, you're probably going to pay a price. But the result is that when you decide that something's unconstitutional based on your education, in your experience, don't do it. Refuse to do it. The general rule, according to American jurisprudence, is the general rule is an unconstitutional statute, though having the form and name of law is in reality no law, but is wholly void and ineffectual for any purpose. Since unconstitutionality dates from the time of its enactment and not merely from the date of its decision, so branding it, no one is bound to obey an unconstitutional law, and no courts are bound to enforce them. Unquote. Unfortunately, the courts are the ones doing this. So if we rely on the federal courts to decide what is unconstitutional, they're clearly going to rubber stamp the federal acts. That's what the courts do. The states are no better. State courts are no better. But this is interesting. In 1967, Judge Perez, who put this entry in the congressional record, ends his entry by saying this, only an aroused public sentiment in favor of preserving the Constitution in our institutions and freedoms under constitutional government and the future security of our country will break the political barriers which now prevent judicial consideration of the unconstitutionality of the 14th Amendment, end quote. So in 1967, he's saying, hey, the people have got to do this. What they were trying to do is get the individual states declared unconstitutional. That was their goal at that time. It's still the goal. And nullification is the method that is now being implemented and is the valid one that started in 1798 with the papers by Jefferson and Madison to try to stop the Sedition Acts that were imposed in that year. So it is the remedy, and that is you can nullify it. When you're on a jury, you have the right to nullify by voting someone not guilty, even though they do what the law says they can't do if it's a bad law. And the states have the authority and the duty, according to Madison and Jefferson and others, to nullify laws that the federal government enacts that are, in fact, in violation of the federal Constitution. They're just not doing it. So what's going on in the country today is a movement to reemphasize the 10th Amendment and to insist the state legislatures and the state governors nullify federal laws that are unconstitutional. We started a program here in Pennsylvania in January pushing the governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, and the state representative senators to start nullifying things like Obamacare, the Real ID Act, Food Safety Act, and on, all these federal acts that the federal government's done that are unconstitutional. The Senate here in Pennsylvania just passed last week a nullification bill for Real ID, 50-0, and now it's in the House. So we're working on doing that. So to answer Lisa's question, the people can start getting educated and going to their government at all levels and say, follow the state constitution, follow the federal constitution, follow your oath of office, which requires you to do that, and stop making we the people suffer under unconstitutional use of patients. That's the remedy.
Paper that you referenced is on my website, theunsolicitedopinion.com, under the tab entitled William Taylor Ryle. That's where you can find his paper that he had written regarding the 14th Amendment, Lisa, and anybody else out there listening. If you'd like to read what William has written, that's where you're going to find what he references.
And I also put on the website a list of websites where you can go to those websites and read the original documents that I referenced in total. So don't take my word for it. Read it for yourself. One of the titles is The Dubious Origin of the 14th Amendment. Another one is The 14th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States and the Threat that it Poses to Our Democratic Government. That was in 1959 in the South Carolina Law Quarterly. The previous one was in the 1953 Tulane Law Review. Dyett versus Turner is a 1967-68 decision in Utah, and then the congressional record. There are multiple sources, and that's just a limited source. So,
Okay. Lisa, that answers your questions, both questions, I believe, right?
Yes, it does.
Great.
One more comment. I'm sure you agree with me, Maggie, that under our current leadership in Texas, I can't see nullification taking root until we get rid of this current group of yahoos that run our state. So
yeah, well, there's yahoos running every state. I got news for you, Lisa.
That's right.
The same yahoos across the board. They just don't look the same. That's all. Thanks for calling, Lisa.
Thanks.
I appreciate it. Bill, we're going to take another caller. We have ET in New Mexico. Hi, ET. How are you? Are you with me, ET?
Yes.
E.T. phone
Hello.
Home.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, E.T.
He's there.
Hey, E.T., you're on the air. What's your comment or question?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. You've got the floor, kid.
I just wanted to put in a plug for Phil Pozderek's Positively Unconstitutional show on Saturday mornings.
All right.
He turned me on to this book called The Red Amendment by L.D. Bork.
Yep.
And there's a lot of amazing information in there. And just to go back to what you were talking about with the money or with the debt, in the 14th Amendment it said the debt shall not be questioned in one of the lines.
You know, you're real blurry sounding right now, or fuzzy. Sounding, E.T., I don't know what's going on with our connection here. Say that again, that last couple of sentences.
In the 14th Amendment, it says, there's a line in there that says, the debt shall not be questioned. And it doesn't, my point was, it doesn't really matter whether it's been ratified or not. They just push it through. They just do what they want. It's like the Federal Reserve Act, the way it was, ratified it on Christmas Eve of, 1913 when there was nobody there.
Yeah,
and they just pass whatever they want to pass.
Okay, so what's the answer? So what they're doing is unconstitutional, and the provision you're talking about is, in fact, Section 4. It says the validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law. There's the interesting thing, because it's not authorized by law, including debts and so forth, shall not be questioned. So since it's unlawful, this debt's unlawful, you can question it. In fact, you should question the validity of the 14th Amendment because, in fact, it doesn't exist. It's unconstitutional. It's unlawful. Never existed lawfully. And so when
that's all theoretical, though. I'd
wait.
Go get a job without being a U.S. citizen.
Let me answer the question.
Or get anything without being a U.S. citizen.
Okay, let me suggest a remedy. As long as the people, and it's our fault for letting this occur, as long as the people continue to go along to get along, we'll get what we got. And the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same thing and expecting a different result. So here we go. If we don't say no as the people, because they're operating outside the law, the government is in fact they're outlaws by and large because they operate outside the law. So you're right. It's difficult, and it's more difficult every day. So until we, the people, decide to say no together and individually, frankly, and understand you must be responsible for what you do, and it must be lawful,
right.
But until we decide, as a society, as a community, as your county decides, no, we're not going to do that, and we get the local people, like the sheriff, to say, if the federal government comes into my county and asks the people in my county to do something that's unlawful, I'm going to run them out of here or put them in jail. That's the remedy, and the people need to support a sheriff who will do that, because the sheriff can deputize everybody in the county to help him. That's the law. So we have the remedies. The framers put it there, the checks and balances, and written it down. We're so blessed with the fact that all this is written down, and we the people have let those in government get away with this unlawful behavior for so long that we all think, well, that's the way it has to be. We get what we're letting happen here. But we're toward the end of the train here. This country is going to cease to exist if we don't go back to our roots, our foundation, and the way the government's supposed to work. We the people must demand it. So, unfortunately,
the created can never be above the creator.
Correct. But we've allowed it to happen. So, in all due respect to any excuse, if you don't stop doing it, you will, in fact, always be a slave. We are slaves here if you let them control you like this. Look at your zoning. Look at how everything in your life is controlled, much of which you have signed away by entering into some license or permit and agreement. And they use it, and they bribe the politicians with grants and things like that. It's absolutely corrupt. But the solution is the law. And as I said earlier, the Constitution, state or federal, whichever is applicable, strikes with nullity that which does violence to its provision. That's a very powerful statement. There's no decision needs to be made, no rule, no new law, no nothing. If something violates the Constitution, it doesn't exist as a matter of law. And we the people have to say, oh, I don't have to do that. Ask a question upon someone in government who asks you to do something. What exactly are you asking them to do? Make sure you understand what they want you to do. And if it's not authorized by the law, the Constitution particularly, then you say, would you please provide me with the lawful constitutional authority for me to have to do that? And until they do that, that's called a petition for redress of grievance, by the way, and until they do that, they had no authority. Send them on. Send them back where they came from to get that authority, and when they come back with it, probably will be wrong, and you challenge that. You keep going until they prove that you have to do it. That's the way we stop this. Now, you got to get with your neighbors, because if you do it by yourself, they'll probably arrest you, and you'll have to defend yourself, but you got to be prepared to do that. But it comes with community networking and learning the truth and standing up. That's our remedy. It's the law. I'd encourage everybody to do it. Does that help?
Oh, yes.
All right.
Yeah. I mean,
no is
yeah.
still a valid answer. And you ought to be instructing your legislators at all levels that no is a valid answer. And if they don't have authority in the Constitution, their oath, if they violate their oath, they are absolutely operating outside of the law. They have no immunity. They have no protections according to the law, other than the crooks who were in government in the courts, potentially, are going to protect them. But they're subject to prosecution. And we ought to be doing it. And we may not win, but it certainly would tie up the court systems. They have to deal with it. And hopefully the judges will eventually get to a point where they feel fearful of not being able to do their job. That's why the sheriff is so important. Sheriff's can arrest everybody and anybody in the county. He's the superior authority from law enforcement in today's terms of anybody in the county.
Hey, E.T., thanks for calling. Listen, everybody, we're going to the last and final break of the show. We'll be back in 3 minutes for the final segment. Don't change that dial. This is Kansas.
Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now, 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation, but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny, and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method, which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Everybody, this is Maggie Rod, and this is the Unsolicited Opinion. We've only got a couple more minutes left. Hey, Bill, somebody shot me another email saying that all laws are constitutional because they are voluntary.
No, 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 that's not true. I don't know where that comes from, but no, that's not true. Just because somebody in government says something, well, let's qualify that. If it's a law, that's a big if. It must be, to be a law, it must be constitutional. It's not really a law. That's what we read. Remember? So, I mean, again, depends, you can play games with words. But it's not, it's voluntary to the extent that, I guess, because we're the sovereigns, we can choose to follow the law or not. That's always voluntary. That's the act of nullification on the part of the individual, since we're the sovereign. If you're wrong, because we're a part of society, and if, in fact, it is a law that complies with a revision of the Constitution that is, in fact, lawful, then we have agreed as part of society to follow the law. For instance, traveling on the right side of the road in America is what we have decided to do here. Going on the left side of the road interferes with the right of the oncoming citizen, and that is against the law, as an example. Playing music in 3 o'clock in the morning very loudly disturbs the quiet enjoyment of your neighbor, and therefore that breaks the law. That's an agreement. So I don't know whether it's voluntary or not. I think that's semantics. I think what we have to realize is that the authority, and I want to qualify what I said before, the high authority is always the people, by the consent of the governed, remember the Declaration of Independence. So we are the sovereign, but as far as those in government, particularly in law enforcement of today's terminology, the sheriff is the top cop in the county. So, I don't know. I hope that answers the email. I would encourage everybody to get a copy of their state constitution, read it, try to understand particularly the Declaration of Rights or the Bill of Rights in it, and then give a copy of that document to every government individual that you come encounter in contact with, and insist that they read it and understand it.
And listen, you can get a copy of the state constitution at any one of your local politicians' offices. They have them.
Yeah, and get them to get the federal constitution as well. But the state constitution pretty much take care of most of the things inside the state. And been my experience over 20 years that over 95% of the people in government haven't read it, either of them for that matter. So that's a place to start for everybody, is to get their local government agent, their public servants, quote-unquote, to read the document they all take an oath to support, obey, and defend. Starting point.
Yeah, it would be. Hey, Bill, thanks for joining me again. I always appreciate it. You know, enjoy your words of wisdom and what you have to say. And I know a lot of the listeners and people who email me while you're on the show with me enjoy it as well. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Look forward to talking with you next week.
Oh, yes, we'll do it. Same bad time, same bad station.
That'd be great.
I think you're on next Friday. I don't know. Anyway, we'll figure it out.
That's what you told me.
Yep. I could be lying, though. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Check my calendar. I don't know. I could be making it up as I go along, Bill. You never know.
I'm flexible. Thanks again.
Take care, Bill. You're welcome. Hey, everybody. I hear my music. Listen, you know I love to go to Oz. Somewhere Over the Rainbow is a wonderful place to be. Listen, keep your chin up, everybody. Better days are coming because we've got people like William Taylor Ryle in the world fighting for you and I, so don't lose heart. And the sun will come up tomorrow because it always does. Hey, Deanna Spingola follows me. Another great show, so stay tuned. Don't change that dial. And I'll see you Monday. Take care, everybody.
It's far, far away. Behind the moon, beyond the rain.